Chris Lowe. Great to have you. Go back with Bobby Knight to Indiana this past weekend. Other than looking like he was going to strangle Dick Vitale at one point, it seemed like a pretty successful weekend.
You know, he and Dick, they have a long, long relationship and go back a long ways. I know that those two, yeah, and I know Dick had, I wouldn't say lobbied, but had really wanted to see that for a long time. You know, Bob Knight come back to Assembly Hall and get that kind of ovation. I understand there's a lot of mixed emotions from a lot of people in that, you know, I think Chris Maurice Davis said it best, but Bob Knight's legacy is a pretty complex one, and he's done some things that I don't think anybody would condone, you know, and when he gets to, you look back, but his, I think we all have, and I certainly have, and I think back to things I've written and said, but his legacy as a basketball coach and as a molder of young men, just look at the guys that were there from the different eras and the different generations and the way they revere it. You know, Isaiah Thomas, Ted Kitchell, I mean, Clint Buckner. I mean, all those guys were there. And that's not to say everybody who played for him revered him. We know that's not the case. But I think it was therapeutic in a lot of ways for the Indiana basketball family, for that community, to see Bob Knight come back there and receive that kind of reception. And I think probably for his players, too, you know, to see their coach come back. I guess Bob's right at 80 years old, and probably a long time. It's been a long time coming.
Chris, where are we with this Michigan State search? As many as five guys. Nobody ever officially turns anybody down, but there are five names linked to that job that didn't take it. Now I'm seeing a lot of people pushing for Brett Bielema because that makes sense in the Big Ten. I've seen Mark Stoops. I've seen Justin Wilcox. Where are we with this?
Well, and you're right. That's rule number one in our business is no school ever gets turned down by a coach. Well, if we just decided, you know, wasn't a good fit, we're moving on. I tell you who I would talk to if I'm Michigan State. And I'm not saying that he's number one on their list. I'd certainly call Jim McElwain, who's right there at Central Michigan, did an unbelievable job last year. Took that team from one win to the MAC championship game this past year. Didn't end the way he wanted it to at Florida.
Yeah.
But it's a guy who's won, been around great programs. You know, you look at what he did at Colorado State, and people forget, because we all have short memories, that he did take Florida to a couple SEC championship games. He'd be a guy I'd call. I think Mark Stoops is another guy. Now, I know Mark likes his job at Kentucky. They've reinvested in the program there, done things he's asked him to do as far as player amenities and facilities. But the one thing he's done, ironically, is he's been able to go up into Ohio and neighboring states and get really good football players that in the past Wisconsin and Michigan State would get. Because Ohio State and Michigan can't get everybody up there in that Midwest region. So in the past, before Mark came to Kentucky, Michigan State got a lot of those guys. Wisconsin got a lot of those guys. So he's certainly another guy that if I'm Michigan State, I would absolutely talk to.
Chris Lowe, our guest, National College Football Insider for ESPN. We were having this discussion last week, and then we all kind of watched the debut of the XFL. I'd written this down. Vince McMahon is ready to lose up to $400 million of his own money to keep it going multiple years. And we asked this question, Chris. We use the name Trevor Lawrence, although maybe that's not feasible. Maybe it is. What would stop the XFL from just saying, if we will draft you, if you want to be drafted, you can be drafted into this league? We looked. Their top salary for one player is around $600,000. Let's say somebody like Trevor Lawrence, by the time you would leave Clemson, you could have played two seasons. You could have made $1.2 million. He may be fine on money. His family may say, you just stay in school and you're going to get your, you know, $40 million from wherever you're going to get. But what would stop Derek King from Houston or some other guy to say, I'll go make that money and then, you know, I'll put off my, I'll just do that instead of college for this year? I wonder if that will be something that happens.
Well, I mean, go back in a way, to some degree, Mick, you're talking about what happened with Herschel Walker in the USFL, right?
Right, right.
I mean, that's essentially what happened with that league and got him out of Georgia early. And I think we all forget, I've been guilty of this, it's not an NCAA rule
that you have to stay 3 years. It's an NFL rule.
Right.
You know, that you got to be 3 years out of high school. I'd say we probably will see something like that. We're not going to see, as you point out, a Trevor Lawrence or a Chase Young type of player that's going to be a first, a top 10, top 15 type of player. But maybe there is a guy that, says, you know what? I played a year, I played 2 years in college ball. I'm going to go make some money now. My family needs the money. I'd say we absolutely will see somebody test the waters like that.
Or if the kid that's playing safety for, I think the New York team, I might be wrong on that, that was at West Virginia and had grade issues, and instead of transferring, he's playing XFL football, and the thought is he's going to get drafted and leave. But in between now and the draft, he's doing this, which is an interesting choice.
Yeah, and showing that he can play, showing on another platform, another level that he can play. And so we're going to see a lot of changes, period. And we've said this 100 times, the amateurism model as we know it now, 5 years from now, is not going to look anything like it does now. And I think this type of league may push the envelope even more, but you're going to see more opportunities for kids like that, to have a chance to go play in this league. And I'll tell you what, in watching some of what I watched, there's a lot of familiar names, mm-hmm. From college football playing, guys that I remember watching play, and it was fun. I enjoyed watching the little bit that I did see this past week.
Chris Lowe covers college football nationally for ESPN.com, joins us on Mondays and Fridays. Chris, real quick, Tracy Rocker, Chris Rumpf leaving Tennessee. It looks like Jeremy Pruitt acting quickly. Jimmy Brumbaugh coming over from Colorado. Also outside linebackers, Coach Shelton Felton from Akron. Looks like they may be headed to Tennessee. So a day of change for the Vols.
Yeah, three guys now that were on Jeremy's original staff are there. Three of the 10 are left. And I think there's a couple ways to look at this. A, it's obviously these changes were already brewing. I don't think it just happened right now. There were some changes and maybe some guys looking to move on. And maybe Jeremy looking to move some guys on. It's always a little bit somewhere in the middle. But you know this, Brent. Mickey, you know it too. Man, it's always about recruiting in some way, shape, or form, getting better on the recruiting trail, picking up more recruiting ties, connections.
Chris, great stuff as always. Look forward to the next time we get to visit. We'll need to get a update from you on Lane Kiffin, maybe, and really all across the state of Mississippi as we head to spring practice, because between he and Mike Leach, I mean, I think everybody's just like, please just start doing stuff again so we can see what's going to happen with these two guys.
They're gonna scalp tickets, I hear, for the Destin spring meetings with those two guys down there.
Yeah, we may scalp some. That's going to be awesome. Thank you, buddy.
See you guys.